In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today, the second Sunday of Advent, we continue our preparation for the coming of Christ. And we are told in Luke chapter 3, verse 3, he went into all the region around the Jordan, referring to John the Baptist, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Proclaiming baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But who is this man, John the Baptist? He was very unique. He wore superhero outfits. He lived in the woods, in the desert, sometimes. And he had tough messages, even for us. His message, baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Baptism of repentance. Now, if I baptize you with water, the substance is water. If you receive a baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are being baptized in the Holy Spirit. The message for us today is, you must be baptized into repentance for the forgiveness of sins. In other words, change your minds, change your attitudes, have a new direction. If the direction you're going is not towards God, if the direction is going is not the way of God, then change your direction. And that is what John the Baptist said, repent. Repent. Repentance has a message of hope. And it is, in fact, a message of hope. Repentance is a door that will open to give you a great life. Because life can be better. Get rid of your past and don't continue carrying your past with you forever. John says, if you are a drug addict, you can repent and start all over. If you are an alcoholic, you can change your life around only if you repent. He says, repent from your bad ways. You know, during Lent, we always read, God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked man, but rather turn from your evil ways and leave. And that is the message for today, repentance. Repent. Repent from addiction. Repent from how you treat your spouse. Repent about your work ethics. Repent from gossip. Repent from anger. If you repent now, things will begin to change for the better for you. Everything about your life can change for the better. Only if you repent. Don't resist what God wants for you today. Repentance is not something that happens once and for all. It happens every day. You are baptized into it. When we read Luke chapter 3, 7 to 9, I'll read that for you. John said to the crowd that came to be baptized. You know, you have been talking about repentance. And the crowd was out there, ready to be baptized, thinking that baptism is the be-all and the end-all, ready to be baptized. And so when John saw the crowd that came to be baptized, he said to them, "You brood of vipers." I mean, if I had a multitude of people out there ready to be baptized, what a joy for me. What a joy. But when John saw the crowd coming to be baptized, he insulted them, "You brood of vipers, full of poisonous venom." "You brood of vipers, who warn you to flee from the wrath to come. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our ancestors.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Tough message for the people coming to be baptized. Coming to be baptized. Tough message. He was saying to them, as an outward sign of this, when they came to be baptized, when he insulted them, he said, "Do you think little water on your snake skin?" Remember, I said to you, brood of vipers. "Do you think a little water on your snake skin is going to deflect God's judgment just because I pour water on you?" God wants a change of life. Change your life. It's not the pouring of the water on you. What counts is your life. If your life, even if your life is green and it's blossoming, but it doesn't bear fruit, he says God will cut it down and throw it into the fire. You have to bear fruit. And the way you bear fruit is through repentance. Through repentance. You must repent. That is the message. John said, "You are a generation of poisonous snakes," referring to the legalistic people who refused, the legalistic religious people who refused to repent. They refused to repent. And so by calling them generation of snakes, he was relating them back to the serpent in the garden, slapping them right in the face. He said to them, "Yes, you are children of Abraham. That's why you say to yourself. But you, your father is the devil. Your father is the devil. You are poisonous people who are injecting your venom into lots of people around you. You are deceiving them." He said to them, "Do not begin to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our ancestors.'" That was their mindset. "We have Abraham as our ancestor," going back to Abraham. And because they could do that, they thought that was enough for them. That was enough for their life to be saved. But John said to them, "It's not because you are circumcised on the eighth day. It's not because you keep the commandment, the laws. I want for you to bear fruit, repent and bear fruit. It's not because you do ministries in the church. That is not enough for God. You can come to church from Monday to Sunday. It's not enough for God. What is important is the change of heart. The change of heart. Repent. If you don't bear fruit, the axe will cut you down and chop you down and throw you into the fire. Repent and bear fruit." And then they said to John, "Stop using parables. Tell us, what do we do?" He's getting out to them. "What do we do?" I like the passage that John quoted to them. He said, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. Even tax collectors who came to be baptized, they asked him, teacher, what should we do? He said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Then the soldiers and the cops came. Sir, what should we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threat or false accusation. Be satisfied with your wages. In other words, you think back how God has blessed you. Some of you have so much in your garages, you don't want to share. That's so true. You don't want to share. You know, when John said, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. When you go back home, check in your wardrobes. Really, literally, check how much clothes you have. Some of the clothes you have, you've not worn for the whole year. Some of the shoes you have, you've not worn for the whole year. So much stuff. So much stuff. You open your garage, so much stuff. Talk about garages, I'm also guilty of that. So much stuff. Yes. We keep on piling these things and we don't want to share. And this is what John is talking about. If you have two coats, forget about the coat. He said, look, go empty the garage and share with the people out there who have none. And that is Christianity. And this is what John is talking about. And this is how we prepare for Christ. It's how we prepare for Christ. And this is how the message of John reaches our hearts. Prepare the way of the Lord. How do you prepare? Empty what you have. Bless others with what God has blessed you with. Bless them. There's much joy in giving than receiving. We have so much. You know, I said to people, I said, how blessed I am to be in this country. I mean, we all know that. How blessed we are. When I think of where I came from, so many years of war, people starving. And I came here, I said to people in St. George, I said, my first time in this country was a disaster in the sense that I arrived the eve of Thanksgiving. I arrived here in the eve of Thanksgiving from a starving nation. People were dying of starvation. I arrived here and the next day I was on the table with a lot of food and the children were just bite and throw. I thought I was in heaven. No, really, I'm serious. I thought I was in heaven. I thought I was right in the presence of Jesus Christ with all the food on the table. She was just eating a little bit and throwing it in the bin. It took me a while for me to come to myself. I realized I was in the United States. Wow, what a blessing. And that was in New Jersey. I will never forget that in 1995. But that's the blessing. And so if God has blessed you, share what you have with others. Share what you have with others. If you have two coats, share. Give to those who have none. Let's stop hoarding. I pray that God will help us to understand that as we prepare for the birth of Christ, preparing is preparing our hearts and living the Word of God. Even the tax collectors who came, what shall we do? He said to them, collect no more than is expected from the people. Be straightforward with people. And then the soldiers and the cops, he said, stop the racial profiling. Stop it right there. Be honest. Be honest. Here is the point. It is not that you don't know what to repent from. It is obvious. If you really want to know what is wrong in your life, ask your spouse. Really?
They will tell you the truth. And sometimes you don't want to hear it. Ask your children. They will tell you. And you know, but you don't want to admit it. Just ask them, they will tell you. And when they tell you, be honest with yourself and repent. Fix it. And when you fix it, you produce good fruit. But you got to fix it. And then John called out, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight. And the rough ways made smooth. By bringing us this message of repentance. You know what I said to myself? It's not the way of God that we have to make straight. It's our own way. You have to straighten your own way. Think about our twisted, tangled relationships with one another. That's what we have to put straight. Think about the animosities that set us against one another. Think about the silly quarrels that are kept alive. The jealousies, the misunderstandings, the stubborn pride. These are what we need to keep straight. The unbending members who refuse to forgive. These are what we need to work on. Life is too short to harbor grudges and resentment. We let misunderstandings run on from years to years. Families not talking to one another. Some of you have not spoken to your parents for years. Some of you have not spoken to your spouses, but then you sleep on the same bed. You don't talk to one another. These are realities. Repent. We keep quarrels alive because we cannot quite make our minds to sacrifice our pride and end them up. We pass people not speaking to them out of silly spite and yet knowing that it will fill us with shame and remorse if we heard that one day they are dead and gone. We let our neighbors starve. We have so much food and we throw it away. You go to the grocery store because you have so much money, you buy and you fill your cart. And then when you come home, you stuff the food until they expire. Open your refrigerators and see what you have in there. Some of the food are expired. And they say, oh, you dump these things. And they go back and buy. Remember, people are starving. Your next door neighbor has no food. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Look at the amount of food you dump. Look at the amount of food you waste. Think back, Thanksgiving, how much food you wasted. Christmas is coming, how much food are you going to waste? Don't feel guilty. I just want you to know the reality. When we talk about prepare the way of the Lord, the heart we need to prepare. If you have not spoken to your family, I ask you to do that now. Start, call them up and talk to them. You break that silence. You're a good Christian. You know what Michelle said? When they go low, we go high. You got to be high. That's what God wants for you. And that's what it means. Prepare the way of the Lord. Repent. May God bless us all. Amen.